Good morning and welcome to Neely's Bend Church of Christ. Just want to let you know that Dot's not in the hospital. She's right over here. That it's Debbie, Troy's wife, and she is some better. So we're thankful for that. All you prayer warriors out here, keep at it, because we've healed a lot of people up here with our prayers, I believe. Amen? So let's keep Debbie in our prayers as well. And all the others that you know we have on our prayer list, if you receive the emails, then you know our prayer list is lengthy. So let's remember all of those for sure. I love that song that we just sang, and it kind of highlights the text for our lesson this morning. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, the prophet was inspired there to write these words. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Have you ever felt like the energy was just sapped right out of you? I mean, you just worn out. Just feel like you can't put one foot in front of the other. You just can't go anymore. You're going to have to just bail out and go home and go to bed. I know that you have. We've all felt that way. There's a lot of reasons that we might feel that way. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's work. Too many 8 or 10 hour shifts at the factory or the warehouse or wherever. It's too many late hours at the office or bringing work home. Or maybe you're setting up in the hospital with a sick relative or friend or something like that. Or just have too much to do. With our busy schedules these days, it's easy for us to get overscheduled and just have absolutely too much on our plate that we need to do. My dad used to say, I think my get up and go just got up and left. And I know that we've all felt that way sometimes. And it happens for a lot of reasons. But we do all of the things that we must do. There's things that we have to do. We go to work. We pay the bills. We cut the grass, we service the car, we clean the house, we cook the meals, we care for the children, we pay their taxes. We do all of these things, and we can go on and on and on. We do the things that we have to do. There's some fairly immediate consequences for negligence in these kinds of things. I mean, we all can imagine what happens if we don't pay our taxes. If we don't pay our bills, the lights get turned off. If we don't care for our children, the city will come and get them. If we don't go to work, we'll lose our jobs. So we have to do all of these things. But what about your spiritual strength? Sometimes that gets zapped out of us as well, and it needs to be renewed. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Well, what is spiritual strength anyway? Well, it's the strength that we need in our bodies and in our minds to walk with God every day of our lives, from the getting up until the going back down. It's the strength that it takes, the strength that we need to withstand the temptations that the culture we live in is constantly throwing at us. That's what spiritual strength helps us with. It's the strength that we need to do good works in God's kingdom and continually use our talents and use our capabilities for the good of the Lord's church. It's the strength that it takes to do the Lord's work. Paul said in Galatians 6 and chapter 9, he said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for we will reap in due season if we do not lose heart. And that's true. We will be successful if we do not lose heart. Spiritual strength, I think, depends on three things to be present in an individual. And first, it's the desire to do God's work. A home in heaven someday, brethren, is not easy. You have to want it, and you have to want it bad. You have to want it more than anything else in this life. You've got to want to go to heaven someday to avoid an eternity in hell fire. It's not easy. We have to want it. We've got to work for it. It implies work to get there. Secondly, we have to have the ability to do our chosen job, whatever that is. That's the cross you've chosen to bear. I heard someone say that our cross, you know, Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Someone has said that that cross is the ministry that you chose that would have otherwise been avoidable, had you not chosen it, that you're going to do in the kingdom to try to save souls as we go along through this life. But we shouldn't choose jobs that we don't have the ability to do. You know, not everyone is going to stand in the pulpit and preach. Not everyone is going to stand up and do a presentation before a Bible class. Not everyone is going to lead in a public prayer. And Brother Lynn, I appreciate that prayer this morning very, very much. It was wonderful. Not everyone can do that. But everyone can do something in the kingdom. And I've said before, and I'll probably say many more times, that I believe everyone in the Lord's church needs a job to do. Whether it's writing cards, making phone calls to those who are sick, checking on them, those homes in hospitals, and things of this nature. And then number three is we have to have the get up and go mentality to do it. I like Nike's slogan. They say, just do it. Just get up and do it. But sometimes our strength just gets drained. Our spiritual strength, just like our physical strength will when we work too much. I've got some things this morning that I want to talk about. I want to look at two things. I want to look at the strength drainer, and I want to look at the strength builder, and then I want to talk about what is the character of spiritual strength anyway. And the first one that I have on the strength drainer, there are many things in our lives that can drain our spiritual strength. And if we allow them to drain our spiritual strength and we do nothing to renew that strength, then that's going to spell out the words lost, L-O-S-T. And we will certainly lose our souls and be lost eternally if we can't keep that spiritual strength up. Now on the next slide, you should see that word down the left-hand side of the screen, and I want to use those letters as an acrostic to guide me through the first part of this lesson this morning. And the first thing that drains our spiritual strength is simply just the load. L is for load. It's the load that we carry. It's the burdens that we have on us. And everyone in here has some burden that you're carrying this morning, however inconsequential or however severe it might be. Everyone has got something on their mind, and many of you have got something on your mind that if you would allow it, it would overwhelm you. It could just consume you. But we have a lot of burdens in this life. There are some that we can't help. There are things that came upon us through no fault of our own, and there's some that we can. Some people carry the burden of serious health issues, maybe physical deformities or something like that, illnesses, maybe the death of a loved one. I've known people that just don't seem to be able to climb back up past that low of losing someone that was so dear to them in their lives. Disasters of any kind. Disaster caused by weather, caused by fire, maybe some financial disaster has befallen some through no fault of their own, and they need help because of those kinds of things. Then there are burdens that we bring on ourselves, and I know that many of us are carrying burdens, and maybe we'll carry some burdens and problems throughout the rest of our lives that may stem from just some bad decision that we made back there sometime in our past, sometime so long ago. And we just don't have the time this morning. It doesn't permit that we start to go through all of those kinds of things, the sorts of burdens that we may have brought on ourselves. But all of these things can drain our spiritual strength. They weigh on our mind. They distract us. They cause stress. They cause tension. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and following, He extended to everyone an invitation. He said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's promised us that. He's promised that if we'll put our cares on Him, that He will allow us to have a respite from those burdens. He will give us rest. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, he said, "Now humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt you in due time, casting your cares upon Him, for He cares for you." Prayer can solve many of the burdens that we have in our lives, because so many of the burdens that we have are in our minds, they're in our head. They're things that we carry with us, worry and all of those kinds of things. And the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man does avail much. We've already attested to that fact this morning through the improvement of some of our members here that have been very, very ill over the past little while. But we can solve some of the problems in our lives. The other thing, the O in loss, is obstructions. Many times we have obstructions in our lives, things that get in our way. Maybe it's someone's job. I knew a man one time that was a deacon in the Lord's church where we were worshiping. He taught regularly the teenage Bible school class, was very active in the work of the church. We always saw him up publicly doing things in the worship services of the church. And then one day he got a new job. And it was in a smaller company, and he seemed to be on the fast track in that company, in that job, and everybody was delighted for him. We were happy for him. And he got promoted, and he got promoted again, and he got promoted again, until he got promoted right out of the work of the Lord's church and promoted further into that job until he was no longer a deacon. He no longer taught the Bible to the teenagers, and we never saw him hardly anymore. Sometimes our jobs get in our way. Sometimes maybe it's our family or our spouse. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 36, Jesus "Do not think I came to bring peace on earth, for I did not come to bring peace, but I come to bring a sword. I come to set a son against his father and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law," and so on and so forth. And he said, even a man's enemies might be those of his own household. So maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a family member or someone else that's holding us back. Maybe it's our hobby. Hobbies can take a lot of concentration, a lot of energy, a lot of money. Sometimes golf, sports, fishing, all kinds of things. But the Hebrew writer tells us that if there's anything in our way, from having exuberant and powerful spiritual strength in our lives and the strength that it takes to really go the distance, the Hebrew writer says you need to remove it. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, he says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." Be changed. That's what transformed means. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, how do we do that? How do we renew our minds? Well, we're doing that right now, aren't we? If you're here this morning, I hope that you're renewing your mind right now just by having these things be called attention to you and to be driven to think about some of these things. But we need to remove the obstructions that get in our way for sure. And then the third thing, S, is a sinful life. Now, we know that we all have sin in our life. We've been told that. Paul said in Romans 3:23, all have sinned, fallen short of God's glory. We know that. But the Christian who from time to time has a bad thought, something they shouldn't have thought about somebody, or maybe we get angry and we say something we shouldn't have said, or do something we shouldn't have done, and maybe more importantly, maybe we left undone something that we ought to have done. The Christian can't let these things be a hindrance in our life. But the question that I would pose regarding that is, are you harboring sin? In other words, am I making a safe place in my mind, a little corner somewhere? Am I making a safe place for sin to exist, for sin to live there, and to be nurtured and to be kept, and so that it grows and it gets to be something much larger and begins to be overt and it comes out and gets acted out? These things can sap our spiritual strength, and not only our spiritual strength, but they can take the righteousness right out of our lives. Tension, stress, trouble, worry. Just look at this guy. What if? Isn't that the questions that people are asked? You know, what if this happens? What if that happens? That guy's in terrible shape. I'm telling you. He's really worked himself up into a frizzy there. But you know, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6 to not worry. He said, don't take any thought for tomorrow. He said, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. And in Philippians chapter 4, Paul wrote to the Philippian brethren, he said, be anxious for nothing. Now listen to every word here. We've got to get our mind around the thought that the apostle is trying to put forward here. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, then meditate on these things. And don't think about the bad things. Let's don't spend our time thinking about the ugly things. The things that would try to tear us down. But he says, think about beautiful things. You know, think about just things. Think about righteous things. Think about those kinds of good things. So tensions and trouble. If we let our loads and burdens weigh on us and the obstructions in our life hold us back from the race that we're supposed to be running to win a home in heaven someday, and if we're harboring sin in our lives, however small it might be, or if we're just worrying ourselves, we just stay tense and stressed out all the time, then we may be in danger of losing the battle for heaven someday. Well, what about the strength energizer then? If we do some things, and I've got some things here that I want to suggest, if we do some things that will help to rebuild our spiritual strength, that will help to re-energize us, then we can renew our spiritual strength. And this is the crux of this lesson this morning, is renewing spiritual strength. How can we do that? And like I did with the word lost, I'm going to use the word renew here to guide me through this part of the lesson. And the R has to stand for reading and meditating on God's Word. The psalmist in Psalms chapter 1, I think that Psalms 1 is in its brevity and in its simplicity, is some of the most sublime admonition and some of the most encouraging words that we can find anywhere in Scripture. But the psalmist there talks about a happy man. He said, blessed. Blessed is the man. Makario is the Greek word, and it means sublimely happy. Sublimely happy. He said, this is a happy man. This is a man who is planted. He's like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. He didn't grow up wild. It was planted there. Someone chose that spot just for the proper amount of moisture, the proper amount of nutrients in the soil, and he was a tree planted by the rivers of water. He was able to bring forth his fruit and his season. His leaf doesn't wither. But what was his delight? What was his favorite thing? The law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law, he meditates day and night. Now, I may read the Bible as much as anybody in here because I read it daily because I'm studying for something that's coming up very shortly. But it still warms my heart to read God's Word. And I don't mean the kind of reading where I got to read my Bible. You know, maybe some people, they're determined to read their Bible every day. It's a New Year's resolution, you know, so I got to read it. You know, like it's a drudgery, like it's labor of a punishment. It's punishment. I'm punished with having to read my Bible. But if you have the attitude of, I want to learn, I want to know what God wants for me, it'll, you know, I understand that. Peace that passes all understanding that fills your heart and mind. If you look to God's Word, read. You know, Psalms 119, the psalmist devotes this, the longest chapter in the Bible. He devotes it to the praise of God and the upholding of God's holy Word. And he says in verse 105, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. God's Word illuminates a dark place. It does. It's just as like if you walk into a dark room and there's obstructions in the way, dangers. Maybe somebody left a broom handle laying across the way, or there's a chair been moved, some furniture. You didn't know where the floor is rotted out or something, and there's a hole there, and it's dangerous to go through that dark building, but you reach over and flip on a light, and everything is known. It illuminates the air, it shines a light on what is wrong, and it allows you to navigate. That's what God's Word does for us. All things that pertain to life and godliness, Peter said in 2 Peter 1, 3 and following, all things. It illuminates the dark. It lights our way so that we don't fall over those pitfalls and those broom handles and things of that nature. E, encouragement from other believers. We all need to encourage each other. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2, and he was stuck in Athens. He wanted to go to Thessalonica, but he said, you know, I'm staying here alone, but he says, but I have sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. This is the lot that we chose when we decided to be Christians and live for Christ in our lives. Some of you could teach a class on encouragement. And I just looked at her, and nobody knows who it is. Some of you, though, you just don't know what it means to Wanda and I when we get cards. And there are some of you that write us cards regularly. And you write on this side and this side and turn over and write on the back. And they always seem to come on the day that we really needed that card. And it's just a wonderful thing. But there's some of you right now that could stand up here and you could teach more about being an encourager than I ever can. But we all need encouragement. We need encouragement in our daily lives just in living. But we also need encouragement to build our spiritual strength, to keep us strong in the Lord, to keep us able to move forward. In, never give up using your gifts for God. I mentioned this at the top of the lesson. We are all given certain talents and abilities. They're built into us. We were blessed with those by our Creator. And we need to never stop using those. We should always use them. And this is an important one. It really is. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse, I'm going to go back verse 11. I think that scripture there picks up at verse 15, but I'm going to go back and then you can pick up. He said, and he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Why did he do that? For the equipping the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's the work of the church. That's the work of the church. Those two things that he mentions there speaks volumes. For equipping the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Now listen, from whom the whole body, the body of the church, the body of Christ, of which he is the head, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body, and the edifying of itself in love. That is God's recipe for church growth. And pure and simply, it's everybody having a job and everybody doing that job. And God knew what he was doing when he didn't give us all the same talent. Some of us have got different talents. Woody can do things that I wouldn't even start to do. So can James Hudgens and others here, Brother Richard and Steve and other people. But we are diverse. We are a diverse people. We've got many talents. And all of those talents working together in just this number right here is a power that could not be beat. We could not be put down just by using those things. E, evangelize souls as much as possible. Now that doesn't sound as bad as what it's not as bad as the way that it sounds there. Evangelize souls simply means tell people what God has meant in your life. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your co-workers. Tell them what God has meant to you. That's all we're supposed to do. Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world and teach or preach. It doesn't say we have to make anybody do anything. As a matter of fact, as I was thinking about this late last night, I think all through the New Testament, we don't find anybody, not the Apostle Paul, not John, not Peter, not anybody that's just down there just trying to coerce somebody into being bad. You don't find that in the Bible. They stand up and they preach the gospel. And it lands on your heart. You do what you want to. You know the gospel now. You know what Jesus has done for you. You do what you want to. So we don't have to coerce or make anybody do anything. But evangelizing is just telling people what God has done in your life and what Christ has done and what he means to you. It's the Great Commission. Mark 16:15 and 16, to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned. Doing this is strengthening us. It builds us up. It sets us apart. It takes us back to our roots in the Lord's church. W, worship God with all your heart, soul, strength. It strengthens to continually put God in first place in our lives. That is strengthening spiritually to put God and keep God in first place in our lives. Now I want to talk about the strength character just a little bit as we're running out of time. And I promised myself we would not go 10 minutes over today. But if you were here Sunday night, we were out at a quarter till. So, just saying, you get the time back one way or the other. I want to go back to the verse now again. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to talk just for a second about this idea of waiting. And I looked at Albert Barnes' commentary on this. He was a great Bible commentator, did his work about 200 years ago, I think. And what he said about this, I don't think I can improve on. But he said this. He said the phrase, to wait on Yahweh, to wait on the Lord, means to wait for His help, that is, to trust in Him, to put our hope or confidence in Him. It is applicable to those who are in circumstances of danger or need and to who look for to Him for His personal interposition. It does not imply inactivity nor lack of personal exertion. It implies merely that our hope of aid and salvation is in Him, a feeling that is as consistent with the most strenuous endeavors to secure the object as it is with a state of inactivity or indolence. I think that's wonderful. If we're waiting on the Lord, that means that we know our salvation is in Him. And we know that our salvation and all our help is coming from Him. The strength comes from God and not for us. He said, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Individual Christians cannot supply spiritual strength. Paul wrote in Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We draw our spiritual strength from the Lord. The strength rejuvenates our life. For those that wait upon the Lord shall renew. He says, if we wait upon the Lord and if we wait on Him, like Barnes said back there, we shall renew our strength, he says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul told those, he says, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. If we do these things that we talked about to renew, read and meditate on God's word, encourage one another, never neglect the talents and capabilities that God has given us. E, evangelize as many people as possible. Tell them what God's done to you. And W, worship God in spirit and in truth with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. If we do those things, then we will be renewed. The strength will mount us up. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. An eagle is a hunter. They soar in the atmosphere above where any other birds soar. They've got keen eyesight that can see down to the ground. They can see their prey, and then they fall like a rocket. And they take that prey. Mount up with wings as eagles implies work, being prepared for work. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That means preparation to do the Lord's work, to get going, to move forward, to be productive for the Lord. And the strength will help us run increasingly onward. Shall run and not be weary, he says. The spiritual strength that comes from God helps us to run with patience the race that's set before us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, but now he's set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And the strength will help us to walk persistently upright, shall walk and not faint. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 7 says, he is a shield for those who walk uprightly. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, 15 tells us to walk circumspectly. Circum indicates around, a circle. Walk circumspectly means that as we walk through this life, we need to always be aware of what's around us. He says, not as fools, but as wise. If we do these things, we will have power untold. We'll be able to withstand all the fiery darts of the devil. Anything that this world today can throw at us, we'll be able to withstand it. I had a little story that I was going to tell at the conclusion, but in the interest of time, I'll save my story for another day, and it'll be applicable to another lesson someday. How's your spiritual strength this morning? Do you feel that it's drained? Or do you feel that you have the power that comes from God? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. If God be for us, who in the world can be against us? Or out of the world, for that matter. There are so many positive affirmations that we can quote to ourselves. It gives us strength. It keeps us going. It keeps us moving. If there's someone here this morning that's outside of the body of Christ, won't you come? And if you've strayed away, if your spiritual strength is drained, if there's something in your life you need help with, please come and tell us. See if we can help. Maybe we can't, but maybe we can. Whatever your needs are of the church, won't you come forward now as we stand together and sing this song?